You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs podcast.
Hey there, Mundy Maniacs. Just a quick apology as we begin this episode. An apology for getting this episode out so late. Myself and PJ recorded this quite a while ago, but here it is. So again, apologies. That's all on me, Kevin here, Busan Kevin, on the Mundy world. Hope you enjoy the episode. A lot of things have happened since we recorded this. You know, there was this glorious weekend where you could magnetize a Skyland to get 10 bouncers, and a lot of other beautiful things were happening. A lot of great events around the world were happening. So there we go. But here we are, another episode of the Mundy Maniacs podcast. Again, my apologies. Myself and PJ recorded this quite some time ago. Bit late. That's all on me. I'm the tardy one, and I apologize. So let's get into the episode and enjoy. Okay, folks, welcome to episode number 28 of the Mundy Maniacs podcast. Podcast all about Mundy, where we're maniacs. My name's Kevin O'Shea. I am a Canadian living in China playing Mundy. Not as much as I would like to these days, but I'm still playing. And we've got the only podcast all about Mundy. There we go. And with me, as always, is my co-host, PJ. PJ, hello.
Good evening, fine sir. Good evening.
PJ is coming to us all the way from Osaka, Japan. Lovely Osaka, Japan. PJ is going to be telling us tonight, sharing some of his tales of a trip to the countryside of Japan, the rural areas by the ocean, by the sea, by the mountains where he played Mundy and, was amazed by the, amenities there. So here we are, PJ. It's another episode, another week of Mundy and, How are things with you before we get into Mundy? Are you doing okay?
I am doing fine. School started today, so you know, it could be better. But beyond that, it's okay. It's a cool 26 degrees Celsius here, and I don't know what the humidity is, but it's got to be something in the 60s, which for Japan is practically a desert. So compared to some places, sir.
Yeah, right. Cool. I just shared a screen cap. I just shared a screen cap with you of how, with the humidity, it feels like 39 degrees Celsius where I'm at.
Ouch.
And that's in the evening. So it's pretty rotten here. I think yesterday with the humidity, it went up to like 47 degrees yesterday. Yeah. And that's mid-September. So it's not the kind of weather that's really conducive for playing an outdoor geolocation game. Not to name names. It's a rough go here. Not as cool as where you are. I'm jealous. I'm thinking after I record this podcast of going out for a walk, but part of me is dreading that as well. Who knows? Those walks, my evening walks, have not been happening as of recent due to it just being gross outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine that heat and humidity. I mean, fortunately, you know, it gets pretty bad here, but it seems to be shorter, that period of badness. So Yeah, it's starting to cool down. I wouldn't say we're into fall yet, but it's comfortable, you know? And so.
Yeah. I wouldn't know, but in the past I have experienced it. A year ago I was in Japan at this time and it was nice walking in the evenings. That's for sure. You know, as far as things go for me, my Mundy life has been pretty lackluster. You know, myself and Batman Kai, pretty much we're a team. We get out in the weekends and try to play a bit, but during the weekdays, our schedules just are, it's not just, it's a combination of life schedules being really busy and the environment. It's been so humid. And then also the last few days, we've had really high air pollution. So the AQI has been very high. The air quality index has been really high, very unhealthy. And to be honest, if I go outside, and this is probably something that a lot of our players and friends who are like in places like California and different U.S. states, or even like British Columbia, Canada, during the early summer months, probably experience the same thing with all the forest fires. Sure. The air quality is just really bad. And when you get out and play, even if you're outside for 30 minutes, an hour, you feel like garbage the next day. And I'm like, you're coughing and hacking. You have trouble sleeping at night. It's not really worth getting outside and exploring. Yeah.
Which is a shame, because one of the reasons we do it is to feel better. You know, it's a healthy, a good walk. And normally,
right?
Feel great the next day, but not when you've got that AQI stuff.
When the AQI is high, and it's not fun. You're sweating, you're breathing in bad air. You're like, what's going on here? Let's just wait till later on, and then we'll get out there and get up and do it. So let us know, PJ. I know you have been, unlike me, you have been up to things in Munsey. So why don't you tell us and the Munsey Maniacs that they're listening, what you've been up to as of recent?
Well, yes, I have, sir. Last week, yes, it was last week. It feels just like a year ago. But last week, I went to the other side, Western Japan. I'd never been to an area called Amano Hashirate, which is literally bridge to heaven. It's a sandbar that cuts off a bay, an estuary, if you will. It's apparently been there for thousands of years. I don't know the geology, and the Japanese was too complex for me to, and you know, and all the little signboards explaining things. But it's famous enough that throughout Japanese history, poets have written about it, and people have visited it, and it's ranked, and you know, Japan, they love to rank everything. It's the number 3 scenic spot in all of Japan. I've never been there before. So I've been close to that area, but never actually visited it. And we were talking earlier in the summer, and I decided to go somewhere to grow the map. And I picked an area because a player who used to be in Japan by the name of Papa Ganoush placed not a lot, but a few out in that area, enough so that it wasn't completely a virgin map. There were spots, but enough that I could, you know, really grow it. And I went out there and it was, the forecast was predicted to rain the entire time I was there. And I think I was talking to you and to Mario, another sometimes guest on the show here, about canceling the trip because of the rain. It wasn't going to happen. But I just decided to get out of town anyway, and I'm glad that I did because it was sprinkling when I arrived in the early evening, and that was the last rain we had all 3 days. In fact, it was so sunny that I burned myself. I didn't bring suntan lotion because I didn't think I'd be outside too much. Mm-hmm. So I burnt my nose and my neck and my arms, all in the pursuit of growing that map. And sightseeing, and it was lovely. But it, like you said, it is countryside out there. The restaurants in that part of that area of the city, and I use the term city loosely because it's got a population of about 50,000, which for Japan doesn't barely rates as a city. But I get there and I check in at the hotel around 6:30. There are no restaurants open. And I don't mean not a few. I mean literally none in that area that I was in. And I asked the hotel, and they said, well, there's only one restaurant that's open right now, and that's our restaurant. And unfortunately, it's booked days in advance. I went to the convenience store, which shut down, which according to Google, the hours are a ridiculously early 8 p.m., but actually he decided to shut down early that day, and was by the time I got there, it was shut down. It was
Well, okay, so you're in Osaka, Japan. You're based in the big city. You know, maybe for those out there who are listening who have never spent any time in Japan, never been to Japan, you know, the convenience store culture, why would that seem like a big deal that a convenience store would only be open until 8 but it closed earlier when you compare it to, say, convenience stores in somewhere like where you live?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Typically in Japan, in the major metropolitan areas, they stay open 24 hours a day. And they're only closed maybe during New Year's and or not closed completely, but only they have reduced hours during New Year's and maybe Obon in August. So that basically anyone who lives in, like you used to live in Kobe and I live in Osaka, there is not, I could go out at 4 in the morning and get something at the convenience store. And as you alluded to, these convenience stores are a little bit more a wider variety of products than maybe we're used to in the West. So you can get a full meal. You can get a change of clothing, underwear, T-shirt, socks. You can get fruits and vegetables, alcohol, tobacco, whatever, you know, you know. And so I'm used to being able to, it never occurred to me that at 6:30 my food options had disappeared. Mind you, I didn't starve. I was eating on the train. So it's, and you've seen me, I can stand to lose a few evenings of fasting. And but beyond that, it was a lovely trip. I love the countryside in Japan. It's peaceful, it's safe, and you know, I can be out at 10 p.m., which there is the equivalent of 3 a.m., and literally no one's on the street and feel perfectly safe, which is great, especially for Munzee, because you know, I think the reason why I'm in so much pain now. Got back problems and leg problems and ankle problems is I just walked and biked myself silly over 3 days. And I crossed a sandbar. I visited a couple of temples and shrines that I've always wanted to see. One is up on the mountains on the other side of the bay. It involves a cable car, a mountain bus, and that's what they call it, and a train and a bicycle to get to. But it was lovely. And again, I deployed a lot. I capped what was there. And you and Sarah, very kindly in advance of my trip, put quite a few in the area. So it wasn't just a deploying trip. I actually capped quite a bit more than I expected to. So it was great. I mean, I loved it. I was only there 3 days, but we've talked about this. And for me, that joy is going to a place that is relatively untouched on the map, Unzi map, and making it something, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We've both done that. Oh, yeah. It's just fun.
We both have done it. I haven't had a chance anymore now to really do that because of I have been leaving the city, but, you know, things are kind of loosening up travel-wise, so we're hoping we can get out. And I do have to go to Guangzhou sometimes relatively soon to renew my passport. So I'm sure on that little day trip, there'll be a few greenies deployed and some virtuals. And then, I actually have to physically go there to drop off my passport. I can't do it via mail apparently or courier. And then I have to physically go there to retrieve my passport when it's ready a few weeks later. It's a neat trip. You know, it's just an hour and a half away or 2 hours away. I haven't been there yet though.
Are there any Munzee in Guangzhou now?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so, but I'm going to look at that map and see. It takes about 3 to 4 hours for the map to open up on my computer. That's a good question. I don't know why I've never checked. There is definitely a few in Beijing, and there's a fair number in Shanghai, although the scene is definitely not in any way active in Shanghai. It seems that there were a couple of players a few years back were pretty active. And
it's there.
It's an old map. Yeah, there's a lot of greenies, whether they're there or not, but a lot of QRZZ pop up. Let's see. Will it even pop up Guangzhou? Guangzhou-xi, China, Guangdong province. This is really exciting. Well, there's a couple. Literally, there's a couple. Four. Yeah, in the downtown core, we got four greenies, man. Like, it's four, five, six, seven, eight. Now, there's a few around.
Okay.
Well, you know, we'll check it. One's been there. And okay, I'm going to...
Sarah and I will put a few in advance of your trip.
Actually, there's a couple of sections with quite a few. And I'm looking around like some university. There's a player called the Italian Job who put quite a few down, and they all have zero captures. Everything has zero captures. So there's probably, it looks like, I'm guessing about 30 to 40 in the city. But there's one by a player that you will recognize. Ooh. Which leads me to scratch my head. Mr. Chicken McNugget.
Yes, I do recognize that name, yes.
Guangzhou Pedestrian Bridge, Mr. Chicken McNugget, zero. He's in Japan as well.
That guy gets around. I think he's deployed in New Zealand, or I was looking at the map recently.
This is a greenie. A greenie. So there are no virtuals, apparently, in Guangzhou, it looks like. But there are quite a few greenies, and none of them have been capped. So there we go. By, it looks like three different players. So there we go. I'll look into this. Interesting.
I always feel sad when the only thing sadder than an empty map is a map that's got greenies that have never been capped.
Oh, and they've been there. They were deployed 8 years ago.
Oh, wow. So they're probably not there, but it's worth a look for some of them anyway.
It's probably a distinct chance that they're not there. But,
bring spares with you.
bring a bunch of greenies with me and get my ZQRU skills flexing. But the interesting thing is in those cases that the landscape has changed so much that it could be like an area of the city that's completely changed. Like there might be buildings that there were once put on that are no longer there. That's one thing I found about Shenzhen. Some of the few that were here to begin with when I arrived, like, you know, an entire neighborhood that was there when the Munsee was deployed is now gone.
Yeah.
And it's just like an empty field. And you're like, okay, there we go.
City planning in China does not happen organically. It happens in waves and bursts and it's wonderful for, I mean, there are certainly positive aspects to it. I'm not poo-pooing it. But certainly it makes the Munsee game hard.
Oh, it does. It does. It does. I've realized even just this past week alone, going out and playing half a dozen greenies that I had put out are just gone now. Like there was a bouncer appeared on this one that was, I think it's been capped a dozen times, just with like different bouncers frequently appearing on it. And it was this place downtown. This kind of expat bar that had like a really nice bar, like with a nice patio area, outdoor seating, a little water feature, and a nice like iron gate around it. And I'd stuck this greenie on like part of the iron gate, and a bouncer appeared on it on Saturday, and I went to get it on my Saturday evening walk, and the entire building had been leveled.
Wow.
It was gone. I was like, wait a second. That was a really nice little bar a couple of weeks ago. And it was just gone. The wall was gone, the fence was gone, everything was gone. I was like, okay, like I can't even redeploy this. Like,
yeah, there's nothing there to deploy.
There's nothing.
On the other hand, so I think, was it Sarah? Yeah, Sarah and me, we were in Akashi Park the other week, and one of yours had a bouncer on it in the northern part of the park. And it was funny, it'd been the pole had been repainted. And I thought, oh, it's gone. They repainted around it.
Really?
Some city official must have thought it was something official, and he just
painted around my mind.
Literally must have covered over it, painted and removed, a perfect square. And I thought, wow.
Wow. That's not the case here. I had to replace, they painted all the light poles on my street, which is a pretty long street recently. I'm not sure when, but, there were two bouncers appeared on my street, and I had to replace both of those greenies because they were just gone. And then you could see like a fresh layer of paint. They peeled them off before they painted too. Like I couldn't see any evidence of the actual sticker anymore. So, so there it goes. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So aside from that, I deployed at some different events on the weekend. The big one at the War Museum in England, down along the coast. I saw some photos tonight on the Munsey water cooler, I think, of that event. I see Rob and Lou were both there and a lot of people enjoying things. And that was pretty cool. I deployed 4 or 5 cars to that one.
Rob tapped one of mine in the garden down there. So that's cool.
Really?
Coach V, you know, caps one of yours. You should get double points for that.
Yeah, right? Cool. Yeah, it's interesting. Or when you see like someone that you just know from like the water cooler, or someone who's a YouTube vlogger or something. There's a guy, he's got a YouTube channel where he talks about geocaching. Hailmeister. Hailmeister geocaching. I'm getting it wrong, but that's this guy who does. And sometimes he's appeared in some of like Josh's videos and stuff like that. But it was neat at, I think it was Midwest Geobash. I saw that he capped a whole bunch of my cards. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know he was a Munsey player. He never talked about that in his geocaching videos. But again, there's that whole cross-pollination thing, you know, coexisting. And it's not surprising to me now how, you know, many geocachers Munsey, because I think almost every Munsey player we've met has said that they were a geocacher at one point.
Yep. A large
pretty much.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what the stats are on that, but it's got to be a significant majority. How many, I don't know, but
yeah. Well, just anecdotally, just from our experience, it seems like a lot that we've met. We don't want to keep you guys too late, guys, gals. You know, we'll keep this. We always say we're going to keep it short before we record, and then we end up talking for 45 minutes. We rarely do, because we just love talking. It's what we do.
We do.
So let's see. Before we wrap things up, PJ, any Munsey aspirations or goals for the next few weeks, month, whatever it may be?
Not really. This with the semester beginning, I'll tend to go in low mode. Yeah, I can't think of anything in particular. I'm still growing Kyoto.
I see that.
I'd like to work on that. But beyond that, not much. How about you? Any special plans? Once it starts to get a little bit cooler?
Yeah, just to get them play more, to be honest. I mean, it's just so rough here. Next week, we do have a 4-day weekend coming up.
Ooh.
I've got the Monday and Tuesday off. On the 20th and 21st, they're holidays because of the Chinese Moon Festival.
Oh.
So we have that. So I've got a 4-day weekend. Hopefully get out and play a little bit more with Batman Kai and myself. And yeah, just as things cool down, just to play more. Again, I'll be heading up to Guangzhou in October for a couple of day trips to like renew my passport at the Canadian consulate. So hopefully I'll go up and, you know, make a little bit of a day of it, spend a few hours just puttering around, deploying a few greenies, a few virtuals, and exploring. Yeah. So that's about it for me. Yeah. And there we go.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And that's it. So all of you Munsey maniacs out there, we hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're playing, having a lot of fun. It looks like it was a really successful 10th birthday summer festival season.
Yeah.
In America, in the UK, in Finland, in all parts of Europe, all over the place, really. A lot of fun things were happening. So, so you guys out there listening, thank you so much for listening, sharing the podcast. Remember to like us, rate the podcast, leave comments, reviews, positive ones only, yeah, of course.
Especially the positive ones.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you can find PJ, let me guess, over on Instagram at instagram.com/P_J_
You completely screwed the pooch on that one, my friend.
Hold on. It's instagram.com/Kansai. Go ahead.
Kansai_PEJAY. And from there, you can find all my other interwebs connectors. How about you, Kevin? Where can people find you?
Find me over on the Munsey Maniacs Facebook group, Munsey Maniacs Podcast Facebook group. Search for that. Find me on Twitter at Mad for Maple. over on Instagram, although not very active, at Shizen Wildlife. That means nature wildlife in Japan. And that's it. Hey, there's someone in the room who wants to say hello, but maybe, hey, Batman Kai, come on over here. Batman Kai's in the room. Batman Kai, say hello and goodbye to all the listeners.
Hello and goodbye.
All right, there we go. We got ourselves a celebrity, a Munzee celebrity drop-in by Batman Kai. And what, Sumiko Neko? All right. She's the lesser-known player in the family. Okay, all right, Munzee Maniacs, take care. Until the next episode, I hope you're happy and healthy wherever you are, and bye.
Bye.